Hello, this is Robert Rickover at Body Learning. Today my guest is Imogen Ragone, an Alexander Technique teacher and website designer in Wilmington, Delaware. And we're going to talk about a book that's, I believe, still currently on the bestseller list by Sheryl Sandberg, who's the chief operating officer at Facebook. The title is Lean In, Women, Work, and the Will to Lead. And in that book, she examines women's progress in achieving leadership roles, why it has faltered, and offers suggestions to empower women to achieve their potential. Imogen, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, Robert. Very pleased to be here.
And I know this book, you've read this book with great interest. You wrote a really nice blog on aspects of that book. So, but before we get into it, could you give our listeners a very short description of the Alexander Technique?
Yes. In a nutshell, or very simply, the Alexander Technique is a way of letting go of unnecessary tension, which in turn helps us improve posture, coordination, the way we react, our body awareness. So it can help us improve a whole host of things in the way we function in the world.
And I know that you have found some resonances with Alexander Technique concepts in Sheryl Sandberg's book, and you have some specific Alexander. There's some specific things that she talks about that you think the Alexander Technique could help with. So that's what we're going to talk about. Do you want to start? Where do you want to start?
Yeah. Well, I mean, first, you know, I read this book really just out of my own interest, not expecting to find all these sorts of tie-ins mm-hmm. with the Alexander Technique. So maybe we could start with the one that really jumped out at me first, which was what was the subject of my blog post. Mm-hmm. So to set the scene, Sheryl Sandberg, she's talking about, she was at Harvard, and she talks about something that happened in her senior year, and she was inducted into the Phi Beta Kappa Honor Society, mm-hmm. and they had a speaker come who gave a talk called Feeling Like a Fraud. And in the talk, the speaker explained that as many people, but especially women, feel fraudulent when they are praised for their accomplishments. I'm just quoting here. Instead of feeling worthy of recognition, they feel undeserving and guilty, as if a mistake had been made. And later, a few pages later in the chapter, Sandberg writes, and this was what really struck me, it wasn't until I heard the Phi Beta Kappa speech about self-doubt that it struck me. The real issue was not that I felt like a fraud, but that I could feel something deeply and profoundly and be completely wrong. Mm-hmm. And she's referring to sort of a whole sort of college academic career in which she sort of felt like she didn't really belong there. She was sort of faking it despite her many academic accomplishments and credentials. So that phrase, feeling something deeply profoundly, but being in actuality completely wrong, really sounded to me exactly like, in a somewhat different context, the Alexander Technique concept of faulty sensory awareness or faulty sensory appreciation.
Mm-hmm. Which is something that all Alexander teachers and students come up against, pretty much. And it typically in Alexander world, it's about things like posture and movement patterns. That we think we're doing one thing, but in fact we're not.
Yeah, you could think you're standing up straight, but in fact you're leaning to one side, and you know, that can be pointed out to you by a teacher. You might notice it in a mirror, or you might not. You are so habitually used to not only feeling like you're upright, but looking at yourself in that way that you don't even see that you're leaning. So we can have a very skewed view of what the reality is.
And that actually, that mirror analogy or that mirror situation is kind of what Sheryl Sandberg was involved in, because here she was at one of the top universities in America and get in the Phi Beta Kappa category, which, you know, pretty high honor. And so the mirror, as it were, that she was looking at, she still wasn't seeing it accurately.
Until that moment. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So it took someone else literally pointing it out precisely.
Exactly.
For her to realize this is what she had been doing. And that just really, really stood out for me. And it made me wonder also, you know, that I was very aware of kind of the physical faulty sensory awareness, if you want to put it that way, but not so much of what you might term a more mental type of faulty sensory awareness.
Right.
And I don't know that it's that big a leap, especially as another concept in the Alexander technique is of mind-body unity. Basically, you can't separate what you're doing, your thinking, with what your physical being.
Right. She just came at it from a different way than, say, a typical Alexander technique student might discover it with taking lessons.
Right. And I can't say whether there were kind of postural cues that went along with it. I have no idea, really.
Yeah. But I bet there were some, if we could go back in time, that she was, as part of that, not acknowledging the reality of her situation in a way, there probably was some muscular tension somewhere.
Well, I suspect you're right, because in my own experience, when we're not feeling true to ourselves, or that would be one way of expressing it, there's usually some sort of contraction involved.
I think you could reframe that whole thing as, you could possibly just call it, she lacked self-confidence. Would that be fair to say?
I guess at that point, that may have been fair to say. I mean, as you read the book, she obviously becomes extremely confident.
Right. Or if you, I have heard one of her TED Talks, and, you know, you listen to that, and the term lack of self-confidence does not come into your mind.
She's had a lot of high-powered jobs. She was at Google before Facebook, and other things too. So
she's very, very high up in one of the biggest tech companies of all, Facebook, in a field that in general there are not a lot of women at very top leadership roles.
Well, I would say in that, I think in most fields there are not many women in the top leadership roles, but in that field there aren't many women, period.
Exactly.
And even fewer at top leadership roles.
Exactly. It's a pretty male-dominated world out there.
Yeah.
With a few notable exceptions, but absolutely, yeah.
Right. So the other main concept that I saw a real tie-in was that she talks about awareness a lot. And, of course, it was awareness that helped her realize, you know, that she wasn't actually a fraud, if you want to.
Exactly.
And another point, she talks about being aware of the problem is the first step to correcting it. And I'm sure I've said almost identical things to my Alexander Technique students.
I mean, that is a very typical pattern with Alexander lessons.
I mean, you can't usually, I don't want to say ever, but I don't think you can usually make changes unless you're aware of what's really going on.
Well, you don't typically, you wouldn't even know there was a useful change to make.
Yes, that's sort of what
And
I
I'm
mean, which is,
guessing that was what her situation was in some ways.
So, I mean, she talks about this later, the whole awareness thing, not just in that context, but in the context of if we're not aware of inequalities or preferences or biases of either what culturally happens or within ourselves, it's hard to, you can't really start changing them if we're not even acknowledging that those exist.
Exactly,
Right.
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what are some, do you have some thoughts about specifically how Alexander ideas could help someone who is in that sort of situation? And I'm assuming that it's not always women, although maybe women are more prone to it just because of the way our culture is set up, but someone who's in that kind of a situation, how could the Alexander technique help them?
Well, you know, one point that's brought out in the book is this sort of lack of personal confidence. And she talks about kind of bringing yourself to the table, sitting at the table. She cites a situation, some sort of conference meeting, when they were all around a table, and two women that were brought to the meeting, with someone else who had every right to be there, sort of sat at the side of the room, not at the table. So that you know, the idea is that even though when they were invited to the table, they didn't come and sit at it, which in itself marginalized them. So sort of being aware of behaviors, and I think confidence was a theme that came out, and she even references high power poses as something that people could take on very briefly. It's just in one paragraph in one chapter, but that's something we talked about in another interview, and that idea correlates very well to Alexander Technique too. It's almost like bringing yourself out of contracted postures into more expansive ones. And the idea of the power poses, it's a kind of extreme expansive posture, like your legs may be wider than usual, arms wide or high, and that you can be in them for a couple of minutes, not necessarily or probably not during your public interactions, but the just for 2 minutes. Studies show that your testosterone raises and your cortisol lowers. So that's basically you get a boost in confidence and your stress level gets lowered. And I would say that correlates extremely well with what we do in a maybe more subtle but sustainable throughout all our activities way with Alexander Technique, letting go of unnecessary tensions.
To me, the whole idea of power poses, which I find absolutely fascinating. I believe that the lady's name is Amy Cuddy. Is
Amy
that
Cuddy,
Cuddy? Yeah, and she's done TED Talks as well, and we did a podcast on it, and I think you did a blog post on that as
I've
well,
done a
right?
few on that. I'm actually very taken with them. And it seems to me that even, you know, Alexander Technique is about how we do things, right? And so it's been shown that these high power poses are helpful. So why not use Alexander Technique while you do them? And that will boost that opening up, that letting go of contraction even further.
Yeah, I think the whole idea of power poses points to something really important that you can change your posture and your level of self-confidence and all the rest of it in a fairly crude way, let's say, by having your hands over your head for a couple of minutes. But that sort of points to the fact that if you can do that, why not use as well a slightly more sophisticated method, right, like the Alexander technique, both to do them, but also that you can use on yourself right in the middle of an interview or a meeting.
Or a presentation.
Or a presentation. So it's not like one or the other. I think the two can. I think if
absolutely
in a pinch, if you don't, if you're coming up against a big interview, just doing the power poses in the most basic way is going to help you a lot. But why not add something to
during
it
during the interview when you don't need to be?
Exactly. Yeah.
So I think that could be one very, very helpful way Alexander technique could help women or anyone who's feeling a sort of lack of confidence.
And you mentioned this meeting where the two women didn't even sit at the table. Mm-hmm. But let's say they were sitting at the table. Someone said, you know, please sit at the table, and they could have done that, but they might still have had a way of sitting or a way of being that exhibited what Amy Cuddy would call low power.
Pose. So you could be at the table without really being at the table.
Exactly, exactly.
Whereas I think if Alexander technique would help you be at the table for real.
Can you think of perhaps another example where someone who resonates with what we're talking about might benefit from some exposure to the Alexander technique?
Well, any woman in business who has to speak. speak to anyone, but especially if you're speaking to groups. I mean, this is how the Alexander technique was born, basically.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I think I've seen studies, which I'm not all that surprised at, that for a lot of people, the fear of speaking in public is the greatest fear they can imagine.
Yeah, worse than death, right?
Yeah.
So, in fact, Sandberg mentions in another chapter what she calls the power of authentic communication. Mm-hmm. And I think Alexander technique is the perfect tool for helping you speak or communicate authentically.
And I also think it can help you listen more effectively, too.
And I would think if you're thinking communication,
two-way street.
Is two-way, yeah. And yes, exactly.
Yeah. And, you know, the fact is, in our world today, people are often judged to a certain extent by how they carry themselves.
Right, our body language.
Our body language. And you could be, you know, incredibly talented in your field and the perfect person for a job. And if there's a competing candidate who has equal or maybe slightly lower qualifications than you, but they carry themselves with poise and confidence, there's every chance that they're going to get the job, even apart from the men-women situation where women are a bit, you know, women are definitely don't typically have the edge just because they're women.
Mm-hmm.
So I think all of those are reasons why anyone who resonates with these ideas might want to explore
Alexander
technique.
It kind of goes back to the confidence idea, but our body language, we can be thinking we're displaying one thing, like that we're confident and competent, but if we're not really embodying that, our body language is going to give it away, you know?
Exactly.
And then people get that cue.
And I think one of the things about power poses that's so interesting is that you can get at the confidence issue the other way around. In other words, you can sort of artificially create a bit of a posture of confidence,
yeah.
and that in turn will give you some confidence. It may be a short-term fix
yeah.
with power poses, but with the Alexander technique, it can be a very powerful, I won't say permanent fix, but something you can bring to bear whenever you want.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you can, and again, you know, and I was just thinking that another basic aspect of the technique is it has a somewhat indirect methodology, mm-hmm. and this would be a perfect example. You may feel you lack confidence, and you think the way to get more confidence is to somehow generate it directly, but with something like the Alexander technique, you do something else that you can do effectively, which is improve your posture and coordination, and that in turn will bring about the confidence that you wanted in the first place.
Well, I can tell you from personal experience, it's worked wonders for my own self-confidence.
Well,
so, yeah.
Well, me too. And I think most Alexander teachers could cite numerous examples with their
yeah.
own students. So do you think this would be a good place to bring our conversation to an end?
Can I mention one
sure.
more thing quickly?
Yeah.
Is one other thing that she mentions as the root of so many barriers that women face is fear.
Mm-hmm.
She writes, fear of not being liked, fear of making the wrong choice, fear of drawing negative attention, fear of overreaching, fear of being judged, fear mm-hmm. of failure, etc., etc., etc. Oh, and the holy trinity of fear, the fear of being a bad mother, wife, or daughter. So, but
right,
I think
right.
fear is something that Alexander technique addresses really sort of in the ways we've already been talking about, although we weren't really talking in the context of fear. But when we're feeling fearful, we tighten up, we
Absolutely.
Pull in.
We create muscular, restrictive muscular tension. And
yeah.
if the Alexander technique does anything well, it's really well known for helping people release harmful tension.
Yeah.
That's really what we do. That could even be a definition of the Alexander technique.
Yeah. So I wouldn't say it will take your fear away, but it will take your reaction to the fear away, which in itself will help your response to the fear be a lot different and will sort of display a confidence or a And it will change it, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's a good place to end our conversation. What do you think?
Sounds good to me.
So we've been talking about Sheryl Sandberg's book, Lean In, Women, Work, and the Will to Lead. And I'll put a link to that book by the interview. My guest has been... Oh, and I'll also put a link to a site that will give you more information about the Alexander technique and will enable you to find a teacher wherever you live. My guest has been Imogen Ragone, an Alexander technique teacher and a website designer in Wilmington, Delaware. Thank you.
Thank you, Robert.